Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Guys, thank you for taking time to listen. Today, I want to talk to you about the discipline of discernment. Discernment is so critical that we are able to develop it, that we're able to see it progress in our life. I think when you have it, it's priceless. When you don't have it, I'm pretty certain you're unaware that you do not have it. I think when you see it in other people, whether they have it or lacking, it's just very glaring, right? As we walk through this today, I think you'll see it maybe in yourself or in others, that the value of having discernment, it's a powerful, powerful tool. And I don't just mean the ability to make a decision. I mean the ability to have the awareness, to use your knowledge, to use situational awareness, and to apply it to the moment or to yourself or to your life. Discernment is such a valuable tool. Again, I just feel like when it's lacking in people, it's really something that is hurting them. But I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't have an answer always how to address it, how you get someone to understand discernment or understand how it's lacking in their life. Recently, I was reading Proverbs chapter 2, and the title of mine says, "The Value of Wisdom." And I was as I was reading this text and as I'm marking it up, I just wrote on the side, discernment. I just think this chapter, Proverbs chapter 2, is just a snapshot of the value of having discernment in our life. And what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through this a little bit and just try to see what the application is for our own lives. So, man, let's jump right into this. Proverbs 2, again, is titled The Value of Wisdom. And several of the Proverbs talk about my son, in this way of teaching and instructing. I think someone who is pursuing a life of discernment, a life of wisdom, a life of applying the knowledge that they've gained through life, I think they understand that they are a student, that they're constantly being taught, whether it's through life experiences or someone much older and wiser than them. Unfortunately, it's hard sometimes to get someone who is older or wiser or who has the time or the bandwidth to invest in you. So it's important that we basically pursue a life of self-education. And I know that, you know, the saying goes, yeah, school of hard knocks, or I have to learn things the hard way. I don't think that's the path that Proverbs 2 is laying out for us. Matter of fact, I know it's not the path. And so I want to walk through this today and just talk about some things. Let's jump over to verse 6. So chapter 2, verse 6 just says, "For the Lord gives wisdom." All right, you want to be smarter? You want to make better decisions? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. Yeah, well, I have a master's degree in this. I have a doctorate in this. I grew up in this. I traveled abroad. I did great. You have experiences and you might have a diploma, but that doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. I've met people who have no college degree and they're highly intelligent, highly successful people, and people, you know, on the flip side of that, who are can become very unsuccessful. You see people who can become full-time students the rest of their life. Just because you have it doesn't mean you know how to apply it. And so verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." I don't know of a man who is pursuing being a man of God that doesn't want those three things, right? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. How often have we asked, someone said, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" And someone says, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. We all want wisdom, right? Well, Proverbs 2:6 tells us where the wisdom comes from. It comes from God. And it comes from having a relationship with God. It comes from being in dialogue with God. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Well, whose mouth? Well, sounds like it's the Lord's mouth. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. So if you want a life of wisdom, you want a life of knowledge and understanding, which I would hope you would, because it would cause you to not have to repeat mistakes, not have to come up against the same brick walls. So if you want a life of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it comes from God. And it says from his mouth. That means we have to sit and we have to listen. We have to have dialogue with God. If you want to know God, you need to spend time with God. The same way, if you want to know your wife, you should spend time with her. You want to know your children, spend time with them. And one of the best ways to get to know them is to let them speak, is to hear their heart. I had this on a different podcast, but I call it the arrogance of parenting, that I am so arrogant towards my kids sometimes that I, just because I'm the biggest, loudest, strongest, make the most money in the house, I just assume I'm always right. And the truth is, sometimes I don't have all the information. Sometimes I am wrong. Sometimes I have blind spots that are actually hurting me. The same is true with our walk with Christ. We're not always right. We're not always as spiritual as we like to think we are. So we need to be grounded in a relationship with God the Father. So from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And then he talks about storing up sound wisdom for the upright. Have you ever been around people that you just say, man, when they speak, shut up and listen, right? When they speak, it's time to just get out the pen and paper and start to pay attention. And I believe it's because they have learned the value of being quiet. Most of those people are not the ones doing all the talking, the ones that say, hey, when they speak, we need to listen. Otherwise, you know, you'd have to listen all the time. There's value in that person. They have learned the discipline in their life to listen and to be quiet. I think they've learned it in their personal life, and I think they've learned it in their private life, that they've learned the value of sitting at the feet of God, to sit with the Bible open in front of them with a highlighter, a pen, a notebook, something that says, okay, God, I am coming here to connect with you. These are the first steps towards discernment. It's not watching a bunch of TED Talks and then thinking, okay, now I know a whole bunch about a whole bunch. That's you have information, but you don't have wisdom. You know, you might have some knowledge in your brain, but wisdom is the application of that knowledge, that you actually put it into use. And again, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints, that God actually protects those who are seeking that. He protects them. He watches over them. He is a shield about them. And then verse 9, I love this. It says, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart. Then and only then will you have this. From time to time, I've had this conversation with a guy, different guys, and I'll say, especially guys that have a really special personality, a really special skill set. You know, there's just, God has wired them in a really unique way. And I'll tell them, you know, boy, if you figure this thing out, man, you're going to light this city on fire for Jesus. Boy, if you figure this thing out, you will completely change the way this culture is, you know, because they're wired that way. And here it says, then you will understand. A lot of our challenges in life is that we don't understand. We think we do, and we believe that our perception is reality. But in the truth is, we don't understand. God says, when you get wisdom, and from his mouth, knowledge and understanding, then you will understand righteousness and justice and every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart. That's where it starts. That's where it takes root, into your heart. And knowledge will be pleasant for your soul. Man, there are so many guys who just don't want to learn. I partnered with 8th and Tyne. I think it was like right before Christmas or New Year. It was late in the year, I know that. And we did a giveaway. We did a giveaway of like what your favorite book. And 8th and Tyne is incredible. Grant Burnett and those guys just doing a great job. And it's an honor to even get to connect with them and know them and call him a friend. But when the drawing was over and we talked about, you know, traffic and things, he said, it's really hard to get guys excited about a book. And he's right, because he gives away all kinds of different things. He does a lot of hunting and outdoor stuff. They're just really incredible dudes. And he's right that men struggle with that idea of self-education, that men struggle with the desire to learn. And it says, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This knowledge comes from learning. This knowledge comes from correction. This knowledge comes from rebuke. That's why a lot of guys, I think, struggle in church to sit and to have someone talk at you for 30 to 40 minutes to tell you what you should do, to have a regular group of men who are elders making decisions, and you're supposed to just, I'm just supposed to let them do it. You know, we struggle with that, but we don't struggle with that when it comes to like work or government or police officers. And you know, we'll submit to their authority. And rightly so, we should. But there's something about a church that's really difficult. And the Bible tells us that when we begin to get wisdom, when you begin to get discernment, you'll start to understand that knowledge is good, that instruction will actually be pleasing to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Discretion will watch over you, that you'll begin to inherit this gift. You'll begin to develop this gift of discernment using discretion, saying, I don't think this is right. I don't think I should talk about this topic. I don't think I should share this. And understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. That when we don't have discernment, when we're not applying discretion, when we struggle with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it actually hurts us. That's the thing I struggle with, not only in my own life, but in the lives of other people, that when you see what they do, when you see habits form, when you see their lifestyle, or you see their conversations, that feels like where it comes out the most in conversations. When you see, I take that back, when you see their social media, there's just a lack of discretion in our culture. We just don't, especially with people who call themselves Christians. We will post some of the dumbest things, or retweet, or share, or comment on some of the things that are vulgar, inappropriate, and it's like there's no discernment there. And when I see that happen, I say that person cannot be a leader within our church. They just can't, because they don't have discernment. If you can't use discretion on the things that you're posting online, if you don't have the discernment to say this is inappropriate, a person who claims to be in Christ should not share this, listen to this, comment on this. If you don't have that discernment, how can I trust you in a conversation? How can I believe that you're going to help draw out this vision or shepherd our people? Or how can I give you confidential information if you use such lack of discernment on something that's such a visible platform? You're making yourself look like that. And I don't want that being a leader where I serve. I don't want that being a leader within any organization I'm a part of. I don't want that being an influencer with the pursuit of manliness. There's way too much work that goes into all those areas to have somebody without discretion, without discernment, to be the face of. We just can't have that. It's just too much work. And this chapter 2 just tells us that, first and foremost, it starts from God. Secondly, it will actually protect you. Because it's developing within your heart, it actually protects you from the evils that are going to come your way. What else does it protect you from? Men of perverted speech. Again, I go back to social media. There's so many guys who have perverted speech on social media, or they try to be as crude as they can be. I don't find material podcasts, junior high jokes, whatever that type of stuff, to see how crude and vulgar we can get and still call ourselves edgy or call ourselves Christian. I just don't think it's appropriate, man. And I'm not a prude. I say plenty of words. Where I try not to say those plenty of words is on something of like this platform, where lots of people are going to listen, and you guys that share this stuff with their friends. I have guys that contact me. Hey, I've shared this with this group or this group. You know, you're putting this out there, and you're putting your trust in the words I'm about to say. I don't want to be a man of perverted speech who forsakes the path of righteousness. I think, have you lost focus of who you are in Christ? To walk in the way of darkness, to rejoices in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You're like, what? It was just a joke. But do you see where this stuff leads to? Do you see where? And listen, I've been guilty of this myself. I've been guilty of this myself, making jokes or saying comments that it's a reminder of how far I need to go. But the thing that happens with social media, especially, see, if you and I are conversing at Subway, and we're having a conversation about something, and something slips out of my mouth, listen, that started in my heart, and that's a sign that there is sin in my life, and I need to repent of that, maybe to you, but certainly to God. But if I post it on social media, I had the time to think about it, edit it, re-delete it, go back to it. Even on Facebook, where you can edit comments, you went to a lot of work then to hit post, and you just let it sit out there. To me, I'm embarrassed for those guys. I'm embarrassed for those guys. Either they don't care, or somebody has not spoke some truth into their life. It's really embarrassing, especially as you get older. Like, if you're a father and a husband, if you have like son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws or grandkids, and you're still a jackwagon when it comes to the stuff that you're posting, or the fact that you don't have a filter, man, you're hurting yourself. We have to figure out a way to be bolder about commenting on the things that people post and delete, or not delete, but post and comment on and share and stuff on social media. I'm gonna be honest. I'm really not sure how to do that. But we need to do it, okay? And then we'll jump down to verse 20. So you will walk in the way of good and keep to the path of righteousness. That word keep is critical. I would circle it if you can. Again, I use the ESV. Yours might say hold fast to or something to that effect. But to keep means that your feet stay on it, that I don't want to veer off, that I have a direction that I'm going, and my direction is a pursuit of Jesus, and I don't want to walk away from that. I don't want to hit up the dark alley just to see what it's like and visit old times. I don't want to try to be as edgy as I can be just to see if I can't cast that net a little bit. No. Keep your feet on righteousness. That doesn't mean I think I'm better than you. But it does mean that I'm trying to get this right, and I do desire to be the best. And so I'm not better than you, but I'm not going to jump in the mud puddle and then be upset that I got muddy. I'm not going to walk down the dark alley and then be upset that I came out the other end worse than when I started in there. I mean, think about the things you're doing. There's so much power in a man who will get this. For the upright, verse 21, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. There's a promise. There's something to look forward to. There's value in this. This again, is not a bunch of Christians attempting to be a prude. That you will inherit the land, inhabit the land, forgive me, and those who walk in integrity will remain in it. Integrity, that's a word that gets tossed around a lot, but remaining in integrity, that again, when we let our guard down, when we do things that are showing that we lack discernment, that we lack self-awareness, you are actually hurting yourself. You're actually hurting your testimony. You can't post things. Well, you can, but you're going to be ineffective. You can't post things that are vulgar, inappropriate, questionable, things that you have to justify. Well, let me explain what you don't know about this is. No. And then go sit somewhere with someone and tell them about Jesus, or tell them how you want to lead people to Jesus. That you can't be a leader if you do that. You just can't. And it's really sad that we live in a time where people struggle with that much discernment. And I think we've always had that to some degree. I think it's just way more visible now because of social media. I think it's way more visible now because what you put out there, unless you're a guy who deletes all of his tweets, and I know somebody that does that, unless you're that guy, it's out there forever. But I don't think people who lack discernment care. That's the struggle. You don't care. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your witness. But there again, on the other side of that, you simply don't care. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Listen, there are over and over and over, especially in the Old Testament, but unlike Andy Stanley, we do believe in the Old Testament. So unlike the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a constant warning, a constant thread that goes through this. Submit to God, obey God, submit to his decrees, submit to his commandments, keep them, bind them on your forehead, talk about them when you walk along the road, share it with the next generation, that we're supposed to do this over and over and over. But if you do not do this, and there are consequences to your actions. Like anything in life, there are consequences to your actions. Things, again, things you post or don't post, there will always be a consequence to it. Conversations you have, there will always be a consequence to it if you cross the line or you do something that you shouldn't do. The Bible tells us here that the wicked will be cut off from the land. If you walk in sin, you will be cut off from the land, which means you will not have a place with God the Father. God the Father does not find sin funny, okay. He killed his son. He killed his son on the cross for our sin. He absorbed the wrath. He absolutely sees us as sinners who need God's grace. So once you accept the grace, you have to continue to walk in that. Once you accept God's grace, you continue to walk in that, and you honor him with your life because of it. And the treacherous will be rooted out of it. That you actually lose credibility, you actually lose your place, that you actually lose whatever good would have been coming to you. And it all comes down to discernment. It all comes down to discernment. I think it's connected to self-awareness. I think the danger of not having discernment is you can actually go decades without somebody speaking something into your life. My question to you is, have there been people along the way who've tried to speak something into your life and have you listened to it? So have there been people along the way who've tried to get your attention about something, and did you listen or did you ignore it, or did you just chalk them up as being judgmental? I would go back to that idea and say, okay, was there any validation to what they said? The second thing I would say is there something about yourself? Is there something about your words, or is there something about the way you treat people that has been a pattern in your life? It's that old adage where you walk into the kitchen, you say, man, this room stinks. You walk into the living room, you say, man, the living room stinks. You walk into your bedroom, man, the bedroom stinks. You go outside and go, man, the whole world stinks. No, it's you, right? Is there a pattern being developed in your life that you say, you know what? I am constantly ticking people off. You know what? I am constantly having people ask me if I'm mad at them. I am constantly being cut out of conversation. Whatever your thing is there a pattern in your life? So first and foremost, has there been somebody or somebodies talk to you about things in your life and have you listened to it? The second thing would be, has there been a pattern in your life? Has there been a pattern that keeps showing up that you say, you know what? There is a constant thread. Everywhere I work, this happens. Boy, I always seem to attract this kind of people. Well, it's you. Everywhere you go, it's you, okay? And the third one is this. Have you spent time with God in actual conversation to say, God, am I being the man that you desire for me to be? Am I being a man who gets my wisdom from you? Or do I believe I'm a self-made man? Do I believe it's my education? Do I believe it's my work ethic? Do I believe it's my talent? Do I believe it's my incredible influence on other people? Have you actually had that conversation with God? Have you had a conversation and say, God, I am not getting my knowledge and understanding from your mouth by any means. And God, I repent of that. And repent means that you turn from that. God, I'm asking for your forgiveness. I'm asking you to lead me away from that. God, I don't want to be a person who is self-destructive. God, I don't want to be a person who just assumes they are always right. Again, as I referenced, that the arrogance of parenting, we always assume we are right. God, I desire wisdom. I desire to be a man that's upright. I desire to speak truth into people's lives. I desire to be a man that uses words to build people up, to encourage them. God, I want that, but I don't have that. Man, it starts with a conversation with God and saying, God, I desire to be that. Because I believe if God lays that on your heart, he will absolutely see you through. And I believe that God wants every man to be a man of wisdom, to be a man of knowledge, to be a man of understanding. If not, he wouldn't have put it in the Bible that it's readily available to you, that it's available to us. And again, I want you to be a shield, God. I want to walk in integrity, not just in public, but in private as well. Not just with my friends, but also with my coworkers. Not just with my colleagues, but also the people that I don't know real well. God, help me be a man that walks in integrity in all aspects of my life and that you watch over your saints. God, I want to be that. That's what I desire for my life. I want to be a man that when I say it, people have no question whether it's true or not. God, if I post it, there's no question on the influence that it's going to have on someone. God, if I communicate this truth, God, I know it comes from you because I am getting my knowledge and understanding from your mouth. Man, we have to learn the discipline of discernment. And we have to figure out ways that we speak truth, encouraging truth, into other men who are demonstrating the fact that they do not have discernment. Now, what they do with that, now, we don't get any control over that. Because there will always be people who will continually just keep repeating the same mistakes. And then they want you to bail them out, and then they repeat the same mistake, bail you out. And it's just exhausting. But you can't, there's not a lot you can do about that. But what we can do is pursue a life of discipline in discernment. God, I want to be that. So, man, I'd love to get your feedback on this. I'd love for your perspective on what it means to be a man of discernment, what it means to look for wisdom and knowledge and understanding and to truly get it from God. I'd love to get your feedback. I'd love for you guys also to click subscribe on iTunes. I can't thank you enough, the guys that do that. It's really cool to see, to post a podcast and then see the immediate number of downloads within minutes, and that's just a reflection of the number of people who have subscribed to the podcast and the guys that have left reviews. That is incredibly humbling. Please, if you would take time to do that, I know it takes time. I can't thank you enough because it keeps that conversation going. And when you search, podcasts for manliness or biblical stuff, it comes up. And I certainly want that. So I thank you for that. Man, always go to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All of them are at Pursue Manliness. Every time you share a podcast, anytime you share a tweet or a blog or a video, it's huge. I still talk to guys who have never heard of Order Man or Art of Manliness or Wolf and Iron. And these are some of the big dogs, right? I still talk to guys who haven't heard of certain, and it just shows you, first of all, how massive the world is, but also the scope of the need for us to keep that conversation going. So guys, I cannot thank you enough for you guys that share it and tag your friends or invite them to be a part of it. And if you want to invite someone to be a part of something, I would encourage you to check out our Facebook closed group. It's facebook.com/groups/ Pursuit of Manliness. There's about 2,200, guys from all over the world, just really connecting well. And it's really, really cool to see that happen. It's cool to see perspective. It's really encouraging when conversations take place. And man, just to see that grow. And the guys that invite their friends to it, that means a lot because they're saying there's value here. There's value here, and we want you to be a part of it. So if somebody invites you to that group, man, I want to encourage you to participate and engage in it. That means they thought enough of you that they knew you would add value to it. I want to thank you for doing that. So guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for the shares, comments. Thank you for hey, and by the way, if you want to shoot me an email, you got a question, you want to see me talk about something on the podcast, email me. It's pursuemanliness@gmail.com. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.
You're loved by this King, and you ain't born to be no average Joe.